Welcome back to Edward Hugh, who is an independent economist in Barcelona. He's going to talk to us today on the Spain Report about the new Spanish unemployment data, which has been published this morning, and also about what's going on with the Spanish population figures. Welcome back, Edward.
Hello, Matthew. It's nice to be with you again.
Nice to have you. How do you interpret the new unemployment data this morning? 184,600 jobs have been lost in Spain in the first quarter of 2014, and the unemployment rate has risen slightly to 25.93%.
Well, I think that it's the general opinion I've got is this is not good news for the Spanish government, and it's not good news for anybody looking for a job in Spain. I think it needs to be said, first of all, though, that these are not seasonally adjusted numbers. So it's quite normal in the first quarter in Spain to have a rise in unemployment and a reduction in employment. What's interesting is the relation between these numbers in this report. We've got a reduction in unemployment, a reduction in unemployment of about 2,300 people, whereas we've got a decline in the number of people working of about 180,000, as you say, and indeed the economically active population has also fallen about 180,000. So this suggests something pretty clear to me, that a lot of people are either retiring or leaving the country.
And is it related as well to Easter week this year falling in the second quarter and not in the first quarter? Because we see that 126,000 people lost their jobs in the Spanish service sector.
Well, yes, this is part of the background, that Easter is late this year, or later than it was last year. And this is throwing numbers around when you make year-on-year comparisons. It's obvious that people in the services sector associated with tourism wouldn't be contracting this year till April. So we will see some improvement in these numbers as we get into the second quarter. But if the economically active population continues declining, then we won't necessarily see much of an improvement in the unemployment rate. I mean, they are really stuck in a bit of a double bind here. And it's very clear that it's a peculiar recovery. A lot of people ask, is this a normal, classic recovery that we're seeing in Spain? Well, these numbers suggest that far from it. Very strange things are happening in the labour market. A lot of people are giving up, dispirited, as it were, but they're not just staying at home, they're actually leaving.
This is because the new figure for the total active population published today is very similar at 424,500 people, very similar to the total population loss that the National Statistics Institute published just last week, in which they said that 545,000 immigrants left Spain last year, just last year.
Exactly. I mean, what we're seeing here is a kind of a winding down of a previous winding up of Spain's population during the economic boom. Sometimes I describe this as a kind of the scenes in the centre of Barcelona the day after a Champions League football match with a lot of beer cans and the rest of it strewn all over the place, that Spain had 5 million people come in to work to build houses, which it aren't clear anybody actually needed. Many of these people are now leaving, and the economy is distorted all over the place because the domestic consumption sector grew enormously to provide for all the extra people who increasingly are not here. So, you know, we're seeing a very strange pattern in this recovery process.
Is it also related to these ideas about deflation in the Spanish economy?
Well, yes. I mean, the two things are to some extent related. I mean, I think the biggest underlying factor that's causing deflation in Spain is the fact that there is a structural deficiency in demand. This deficiency in demand in part is being produced by people being so heavily indebted that they aren't able to spend anything like the quantities of money they were spending before. But it's also being fueled by having less people here. On top of that, we've got the situation with the labour market reform, which means that people who are newly contracted tend to be earning less than people who are on long-term contracts. So the aggregate level of salaries is coming down. And again, this is pushing down, the demand efficiency that this is creating is pushing down prices.
Which is, correct me if I'm wrong, which is related to this idea of debt deflation cycles.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. This is one part of the situation. The fact that not only is there very little new credit taking place, but that people are actually saving out of current income to pay down outstanding debts, and this logically reduces their capacity to consume.
So the European Central Bank should absolutely be worried about deflation in Spain and in Southern Europe right now.
Well, yes, very much so. I mean, I really can't understand why they aren't being more proactive about the situation, given it's obvious that Greece is suffering already from deflation, and it's obvious also that Spain is getting deeper and deeper into deflation territory. We got the very good news that the Spain's economy grew by 0.4% during the first quarter of this year as a headline. But I mean, if you look into the calculations, you find that this growth only arose because there was estimated to have been a 0.4% price drop in the components of GDP, which means, in fact, that in terms of current prices or money in the till, the GDP was unchanged, not only from the last quarter, but it looks from the Statistics Office data that the GDP in cash terms hasn't risen in the last 12 months. So it's a very unusual, again, recovery. And I think, personally, that the ECB is far too far behind the curve in doing something about this situation. I mean, that Mario Draghi comes out every month and says, we are not going to make the same mistakes as they did in Japan. But this particular mistake that has been identified in the Bank of Japan policy in the mid-1990s and running into 1997 is that they consistently underestimated the danger of deflation and were always late in reacting.
So there's now a danger of deflation taking hold in Spain.
Yes, and not just in Spain. I mean, that this is a problem around the European periphery. It's even a problem in a country like Bulgaria that is pegged to the euro. And what we're seeing is that German deflation is actually coming down along with the others. So that while Germany is nowhere near deflation at the moment, German inflation is much nearer 1% than it is 2%, which is where it should be. And indeed, there's evidence, if you look at import prices that Germany is receiving at the moment, where it's receiving products from the other periphery countries, import prices are consistently going down, which is going to drag down German prices in the end. So it's not just going to be a Spain phenomenon or an Italy phenomenon. This is likely to extend across the whole euro area.
How might the European Central Bank and Europe's political leaders solve the problem and save Europe from deflation, given the North-South imbalances?
Well, I think we need to be very careful here, Matthew. I mean, solve the problem and save from deflation. I'm not sure it's as easy to do as many people think. So I couldn't really tell you whether they can solve the problem. What I can tell you is what I think they will try to do, which is, I think, sooner than people are expecting, they will embark on some kind of program of government bond buying. They've talked up to now about doing maybe purchases of private sector assets, like securitized loans and things like this. But this market in Europe is far too small, and I think this is becoming generally recognized that if they do some version of QE, it will have to be a bond buying program. And I think at the moment, Mario Draghi is trying to talk the talk and avoid really taking a clear decision, because there are obvious divisions in the governing council of the ECB about doing this, and a lot of resistance from the Germans. Ironically as well, of course, there are a lot of tensions with Germany at the moment over the situation in Ukraine and what to do about sanctions over the situation in Ukraine, which I think are contaminating as well the debate about what to do about deflation in the south, because obviously Germany feels under pressure on a lot of fronts at the moment and is likely to dig its heel in.
Conclusion that
I think that we're going to see QE, but we're much more likely to see it now in the second half of the year rather than immediately. And, you know, the longer they leave it to try and do something, the more difficult it's going to be to achieve anything.
Do you think perhaps this is what Mr. de Guindos, Spain's economy minister, was referring to yesterday when he said that the next 2 years are going to be completely different?
No, I don't think he meant that we were going to see falling population due to outward migration and growing problems of debt management due to increasing deflation. I think, even though I would have to say that Luis de Guindos has been the most realistic member of the Spanish government in terms of talking about a very fragile, uneven and not well-balanced recovery, you know, he is still talking about a classic economic recovery, which, as I say, the indications we have up to now is that this recovery is anything but classic. It is a very unusual recovery. The features that stand out are not typical of situations we see in other countries or have seen in the past in other countries. And this latest employment report suggests it's going to be much more difficult for the government to create the number of jobs in Spain that they have been talking about, and Mr. de Guindos was talking about for 2015 and 2016.
Okay, thank you very much, Edward Hugh, for commenting on the latest job figures in Spain on the day in which 184,600 jobs were reported lost in the first quarter.